I ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 34 for the sermon text this evening. Psalm 34 is the text we are looking at for this evening. This is God's Word. This is a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked on him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, and that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. All men are like grass, and all their glories are like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we come to your word again this evening, asking you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts to understand your word, and that you would receive all of the glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. There's usually a frequent battle in my household over getting certain people to eat certain things. It's getting a little better, but it's still not that good. And there's this constant battle to get them to eat certain things, especially if these things are green, right? If it's something they've never seen before, it's automatically, I don't know what that is, I hate it. Right? It's not I'll try it, it's I hate it. I'm not going to touch whatever it is that we're giving them. And if it doesn't taste like hot dogs or pizza, my two little ones are good American boys. They like hot dogs and they like pizza. They really don't want much to do with it. And there's one thing that I do that sometimes helps with this. There's one thing that I do is I pick up whatever it is, right? Daddy picks it up. And he eats it himself. What am I doing? I'm showing them that it's good. I'm showing them that this is the truth. I'm not lying to you. I'm witnessing to you that this food is good. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. They just won't eat whatever these things are. As we come to this psalm tonight, as we come to this acrostic psalm, which means the stanzas start with different letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order, save one, that's what David is doing here. He is wanting us and telling us by his testimony to in fact taste and see that the Lord is good. And he's saying, here's why I want you to taste and see. Let me tell you why. I will testify to why God is good. As we look at this text tonight, we'll use the headings of a sure testimony, a good teaching, and a clear contrast. A sure testimony, a good teaching, and a clear contrast. One thing I'm learning the older that I get is that a good testimony from someone who has a lot of experience is very valuable. Very valuable. A few years ago, we went camping with a man from our church who has been camping for years and years and years. And Natalie and I have been kicking around the idea of getting a camper. So we're like, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's had numerous campers. Let's talk to him. He was a wealth of knowledge on, you know what, you might want to get this, you don't want to get that. And the reason was he's tried both, and he knows one that's better. In fact, he knew so much, he's like an engineer, and engineers tend to really get into these things. He knew so much about this that he could tell me, you want a 12-inch tire, you don't want an 8-inch tire. The wear, he did like the study on the wear of the tread. He said, it's amazing the difference. You need a 12-inch tire. Just so you know, get the 12-inch tire. You don't want to be stranded on the highway with your family on a camping trip. David does not do this with campers. He does it with God. He gives a sure testimony of what God has done in his life in spite of the circumstances that he has faced. And in the prescript of the psalm, we see what his troubles were, right? We see what he was facing. He was facing this Abimelech. You see the prescript to the psalm? The psalm of David, he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. That was the issue that was going on with David at the time. You can find that in 1 Samuel 21. David was in trouble. In trouble so much that he pretended to be crazy in front of this Abimelech. Most commentators and I would agree that this is Achish. And Abimelech is just another way of saying a king, Abimelech. That's what's going on here. David has been spared by God from this Achish, and it leads him to testify in verses 1 and 2. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How often does David say he's praising God? Once in a while? Sunday mornings? Even? How often? Continually. Continually. My praise, the praise of God shall continually be on my mouth. David says he shall bless the Lord at all times and he shall praise the Lord continually. How often do you praise God? Do you make it a point to praise God every day for something? For His goodness towards you, for sending His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins, for the blessing of the Holy Spirit who is daily making you more and more like Jesus Christ, for your health or for creation or for your job or how your fridge is full and your lights are on. Do you praise God for those things every day? I don't do it enough. I know that. David moves on in his clear testimony and extolling all of us to praise God with him in verse 3 to now telling us why he is praising God. Why is he continually praising God? Well, look at verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's why he's praising the Lord. The Lord delivered him from all of his fears. The Lord delivered him out of his troubles. He was in trouble and he sought the Lord and the Lord delivered him. That's what he says in verses 6 and 7, exactly what he was doing. Not only that, but he says the angel of the Lord encamps around him. The angel of the Lord encamps around David. I bet most of us here have testimonies like this. Most people who have been walking with the Lord for a considerable amount of time. We cried out to God for whatever it is, for His grace to get us through, for healing in this area, for discernment, for wisdom, for help. And we cry out to God. And God answers, and God has provided, and God has saved us from our sins. And for that alone, we should praise God every day. The praise of God should be continually on our lips. We should be praising Him all the time, by what we say and what we do. One of the things that we are called to do, I believe, is to testify. Testify or witness. And this is simply when someone asks you why you are the way you are or why you respond to this circumstance the way you do, you testify to who God is. And you witness to what He has done in your life. That's called witnessing or testifying. And here is what David does. Just like David in Psalm 34, we say that is what this is what God has done in my life. These are the circumstances that I faced, and this is what God has done. And this is what He has done. That's what David is doing, both spiritually saving us from our sins and physically meeting all our needs. That's witnessing. And this is not necessarily having, you know, these great apologetic truths for God and being able to remember the Romans Road. Those things are good. You probably should. This is witnessing. This is saying to your neighbor, look what God has done for us. Saying to your family member who's far from God, you know, I was in that terrible circumstance. You saw it, actually. God's grace got us through. Let me show you how and why. That's witnessing. That's what David is doing. And then calling on them to do what David says in verse 8. Look at verse 8. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You witness. You call upon them. You say, "Look what the Lord has done. Would you taste and see also that the Lord is good?" That He is good. How about you? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good today? Have you tasted and seen that He is good? Have you heard witness or testimony to the goodness of God, and has someone called you to indeed taste and see that this God is not only good for me, but He's good for you? Would you taste and see that the Lord is good? And the call of David's testimony of the saints, that is, comes in verse 9. Right there he says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him." It's the call of the saints. Fear the Lord. Fear Him. Psalm 34 starts with a sure testimony. David says, "This is what God has done. Let me tell you, and would you also taste and see that the Lord is good?" Which leads us to point 2, which is a good teaching. A sure testimony brings us to a good teaching. Charles Spurgeon said that this first half of Psalm 34 is like a hymn, and the second half is like a sermon. We move from hymn to sermon. More importantly, it says it moves from what I like to call the done. This is what's been done. Now, therefore, go forth and do. Right? If you want to use big words, you can say the indicative and the imperative. I like to use done and do. Right? This is what's been done. Now, therefore, go forth and do. It reminds me of the structure of the Ten Commandments, right? The intro to the Ten Commandments is, this is what's been done for you. Now go live like this, right? The Ten Commandments starts with redemption and moves forward into, this is how you live as redeemed people. This is, in a sense, this psalm is structured in that way. The structure of the psalm is very similar. David praises God for saving him, for redeeming him from Achish. And remember, now he moves on to what he does really in response to this. Look at verse 11 with me. He says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." In response to his trials and tribulations, his circumstances and sufferings and his testimony, now he looks at everyone, and he's not just saying to the children. He's saying, all of us, "Come, you children, all of you, and listen to me." Listen to what God has done, and now we go forth and live like this for Him. David is addressing all ages here, and he asks this great question for us today. Look at verses 12 and 13. "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?" This question still resounds in our day. He's basically saying, who's the man who wants to be happy? You want to be happy, right? I do. I do. I want to be happy. Who's the man who wants to be happy and live a long life? That's what David's saying. Do you want to be happy and live a long life? I do. I do. But notice how David has anchored this in the very question that is in the preceding verse. He ties it, a long and happy life, to what? A long and happy life is tied to the fear of the Lord. It's tied to the fear of the Lord. He says, I will teach you what? The fear of the Lord. I will teach you to fear the Lord. And what he says that looks like for a redeemed person, we find in verse 13. This is the do. Well, what does it look like to fear the Lord? This is what David says. Look at verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Let me ask you this. Does the way you talk reflect what's going on in your heart? Does what you say reflect what's going on in your heart? Yeah. It certainly does. Jesus says that in Matthew 12, doesn't he? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The way we talk with others, the way we talk with our spouses, the way we talk with our children and our neighbors says much about what's going on in our very hearts. Do you speak deceitfully? Do you lie? That's what David's saying here. Do you lie? Our hearts tell us, our speech tells us in many ways where our heart is at. David asks us, do you lie? Do you lie? Can we as Christians say foolish things? Oh, yeah. Certainly. Can we say hurtful things? Yeah. We can. But if we are saying foolish and hurtful things more often than saying uplifting and gracious and loving things, then I say, you need to look at your heart. What's going on? What's your trajectory with your speech? James tells us that the tongue can start a big fire. Big fire. You can tell a lot about someone by examining what they say. First, David says the fear of the Lord shows itself out in the redeemed and the way we talk. Second, David says it just simply shows us by not speaking deceit, not lying. We've talked about that a little bit, but here's something I read this week or a few weeks ago about how lying has become so accepted in our culture. Have you noticed this at all? Lying has become accepted almost to be emulated in our culture. I mean, when the leaders of this land on both sides of the aisle can get on TV and flat out look you in the face and lie to you, and nothing happens, that's a problem. That's a problem. Let's put me on the hook now. When preachers can get it behind the pulpit and look you in the eyes and flat out lie to you and not tell you the truth, that is a problem. That's a huge problem. That's speaking deceit. The problem, dear ones, is that there is a shortage of those in our land who truly fear the Lord. That's the problem. Lying has become not only acceptable in this country, it has become something to be emulated. But it's not so with the followers of Jesus. It's not so with the redeemed. The only one who never misspoke was Jesus Christ. The only one who never lied was Jesus Christ. Can we strive to be more like that? Like those who've been saved, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and living as such. May our yes be yes and our no be no. May our words be seasoned with love and grace and truth. Third way, according to David, that we show the fear of the Lord is in verse 14. Look at verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That language there speaks of a turning, right? Depart from evil. Turn the other way from evil. Evil's over here. Turn and go that way. Turn the other way. Men, what do you do when you're at work and the other men around you start talking filthy about other women? Do you go the other way? I know this happens. I was a plumber for many years. Teens, what do you do when you go out to that party and there's underage drinking and drug use and things are going on that you know are wrong? Would you turn, please? Turn the other way. Young adults, what do you do when this culture is telling you that it's okay to hook up and shack up and none of these things have consequences or matter? I tell you to turn. Turn to what the Bible says is what's best for you. Notice it's not simply departing from evil, but turning to what is good, right? That's what he says. It doesn't say just turn from evil and be doing something else. It says, no, turn from evil and do what's good. And finally, David says, those who fear the Lord seek peace and pursue it. This sounds like Jesus Christ himself in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. Why? For they shall be called sons of God. They shall be called sons of God. Those that fear the Lord out of knowing they are redeemed, out of knowing what the Lord has done for them and bought with the precious blood of Jesus, they seek to not lie. They seek to watch what they say and they seek to turn from evil and do good and they seek peace. What's your trajectory today? Is your life marked by those or other things? Am I asking for perfection? No. No, but God has saved us by grace, and He's working these things in our lives by His grace too. That's what He's doing. David has given us a sure testimony. David has talked to us about a good teaching, and now he moves on to point three, which is a clear contrast. Sure testimony, good teaching, and finally a clear contrast. I love to watch nature documentaries on PBS. My family kind of bemoans the whole thing, but I sit there and I will watch all of the PBS nature documentaries. I really like them. And we have the DVD series Planet Earth. I think we got it like 10 years ago or something. But I still find myself every once in a while watching these nature documentaries. And one thing that always gets me is when they show like 5,000 zebras having more zebra babies. And they all the babies look the same to me and sound exactly the same to me. But not to mama, right? Mama knows her baby. She knows the smell of her baby. She knows the cry of her baby. She knows the stripes of her baby. They all look the same to me, but not to mama. You know, dear ones, the triune God is like that with you. He's like that with you. He knows you. He knows your cry. He knows your aches and your pains. He knows you deeply. David says that God's eyes are, in fact, on the righteous. Look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. His ears are open to your cry. He knows your cry. He knows you and hears you. And here's the clear contrast, right? I said this was a clear contrast. It's not so with the wicked. God hears the cries of His people. And it's not so with the wicked. Look at verse 16. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. All of the promises in this text are for God's people. He hears your cry. He redeems His people. He knows you by name. His ears are open to you. But not so the wicked. His ears are not open to the wicked. A while ago, I heard perhaps two of the most disturbing conversations I have ever heard. They were both from members of the organization Planned Parenthood, describing the murder of babies. They were describing about crushing these babies in the womb and selling their parts. And they were talking about how to maximize the profit, right, of these dead baby parts. And this was on the news. You can hear it for yourself. And I was, I don't know if I've been that disturbed in a long time about a conversation that I've heard. They were talking about killing babies like I talked to the gas station attendant about pumping gas and getting a gift card. Wicked. Evil. Do you think God sees this? Yeah. Yeah, He does. God sees this. and it will not stand for long. And David says this about the wicked. Look at verse 16 in the Lord. Verse 16 says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's almost speaking that God's face is hot. It's on fire against those who do evil. He knows what they're doing, and His wrath burns against the wicked and the plight of those who don't repent and come to Jesus Christ is to face the wrath of God. Again, David repeats himself in verse 17 and telling us that God hears His people when they cry out to Him and God delivers them. David is telling us, in case that we forgot, he's repeating himself as a good Hebrew poet often does. He repeats himself over and over again, so you get the point. God has been good. And again, in verse 19, is one of the reasons why I like the Psalms so much, because they speak to all aspects of human life and nature. They don't gloss things over. It speaks to all areas of our lives. And they don't sugarcoat things, right? David does not say that if you come to God, namely come to Jesus in faith, that you won't have any afflictions. That's not what he says in this text. Look at verse 19 with me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. How many afflictions face the righteous? Many, right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. He speaks of the afflictions that we face, and he doesn't say, you know what? You're not going to have any afflictions if you come to the Lord. This is no health, wealth, gospel here from David. He says your afflictions are many. But the Lord, and he says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. He speaks of deliverance from afflictions, dear ones, certainly not exemption from them. Did you catch that? Deliverance from the afflictions, but not exemption. Some of you know this more than others. I will testify that this is true. Fearing God does not exempt us from affliction, but it does guarantee us deliverance. Deliverance. And here it is. David sounds like the greater David, Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows. The one who was afflicted and killed by the wicked for you and me. And the only righteous man who ever lived said this: these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Many are the afflictions. In the world you will have tribulation. Then what does he say? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And it's because of the greater David, Jesus Christ, that David could say these things in verse 22. Look at verse 22. The Lord redeems the soul of all His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. It's because of Jesus Christ, the greater David, that these words are abundantly true. The Lord redeems His servants, and none of them shall ever be put to shame. Not one. Or condemned. So my question to you tonight is this: have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you experienced God's grace amidst your trials and been delivered out of all of them? Better yet, have you been defeated? And yet you've experienced God picking you out of the miry clay. That's more true to life. Defeat. And yet God plucks you out. Do you know that God hears you when you cry? David says it, right? His ears are open to your cry. Do you know that He cares for you? So much so that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Do you know that He sent Jesus to die for you? Do you know? Do you know this Christ? Do you know Jesus who came to live the life you could not live and die the death you deserve to die? And have you tasted and seen that He is good? That He is good. If you can say yes to this, then let's all praise God continually, right? Let's praise God continually for His goodness and His mercy and for sending His Son, Jesus Christ. But if this is not you, then I would encourage you today, I would encourage you to, in fact, taste and see that the Lord is good. We know this primarily because we know Jesus Christ, right? I would exhort you to search Christ out. Ask those around you about Him. I bet you there are elders in this church, if you ask them, you know what, the pastor just said, I should search this out, they would tell you. They would tell you. Would you do it? Would you search it out? And I hope those of you here today are ready to let them know that the Lord is good. That the Lord is good. You have experiences in your life where God has delivered you from defeat. Today, my plea to all of us is that we would taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank You yet again for the truth that we find in Your Word. If there's anyone here tonight who has yet to taste and see that You are good, oh, may it be this night. Father, we thank You for the table we are about to come to where we will indeed truly taste and see that You are good. We thank You that You hear our cries. We thank You that You care. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.